on this episode of Rev Hang.
When they get to the tourney section, it's very exciting.
Who can trust math? It doesn't always work. It's not a set in stone thing.
I don't understand math, so why should it work?
Yeah, exactly.
Poundland.
Poundland, yeah.
Sounds like something I'd tell my wife.
Okay. Man, your wife is gonna be mad at us. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rev Hang. I'm Nathan, and alongside me virtually, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
Doing pretty good. Just sheltering from all this rain. Got a cool picture of a cow to put on my wall, and just kind of enjoying the weekend before it's back to work.
Awesome stuff. Yeah. We'd love to hear about cow pictures. Tell me a little bit more about that.
It's a picture of a big old shaggy cow.
Big old shaggy cow. Those are the best.
I did not come prepared with a picture to share with the rest of the class, but maybe next week.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah. Well, this is not a Shaggy Cow podcast. This is a racing podcast. We are here to talk about some Formula One and IndyCar. So let's dive right in with some paddock news. First one we have up is the Christian Horner fiasco has finally come to a close, and it was at a close for about 2 solid hours. And then it all opened wide up again. Apparently some things were released to all of the teams, the FIA, anybody who is anybody in Formula One. So Christian Horner is not out of the woods yet with these allegations of inappropriate behavior. I do have a meme prepared, Ben, that relates to this. I'm bringing you the first meme of the year from me.
Yeah, share your screen. I want to see it.
Oh, yes. I will share my screen. I will do such things as these. And I will share the screen with everybody at home as well.
All right. That's a good
one. So, yes, we have the classic Anakin and Padme meme with the PA for everybody listening and not watching. Anakin plays Christian Horner's personal assistant. It is just a picture of him. And then Horner asking, "You deleted the chat, right?" And then Anakin with... nothing to say, or the PA, and then it cuts to Padme with the, "You deleted it, right?" Why this is comical, to me at least, is Christian Horner's WhatsApp messages apparently have been released to the public. Well, not the public, nothing's been released to the public, but to the governing bodies. There's very little transparency in what's going on right now, so it's really hard to say when or if anything will ever happen or come about from this. But it seems as though
it's all very confusing, but also very funny.
Kind of funny.
Well, the situation is not funny, but the discourse around it is funny.
This is true, yes.
Just to be clear.
Yeah.
The allegations are very serious.
Yes, they are. Who knows if it's true? Christian Horner, of course, states that it's not true, as he has been since the beginning. But now it sounds like Red Bull is no longer in control of their destiny. They are not going to be able to investigate this independently anymore. It sounds like the FIA might get involved and launch an independent an investigation into this. It's really hard to say. I thought we were out of the woods when it was announced that he was cleared, but that was not the case.
It's worth a shot.
Worth a shot, yeah.
And whatever you do, do not Google Christian Horner File 76.
Yes, don't do those things. Moving on in paddock news, we will keep you updated on that story, of course, as it goes on. But moving on, Alpine's head aerodynamicist and their head of development have both tendered their resignation and are serving their notice period ending in April. So things at Alpine we'll get into a little bit. Not looking good right now and only getting worse. So I'm sorry, Alpine fans, those of you who are out there. I know a few of you.
Not that there was a hype train to derail, but...
yeah, the season's not going to be fun, I don't think, for you guys. And who knows, in future seasons, it doesn't look like it's on a good path. But
well, you know, it's pretty easy nowadays just to find new technical directors and aerodynamics experts to work for your Formula One team.
Yeah.
Pick them up off the side of the road.
Yep, they're everywhere. It's not like there's a couple of geniuses and then everybody else or anything like that.
I'm sure Adrian Newey needs something to do in his off time. Maybe he could fix Alpine's car.
Yeah, I'm sure Adrian Newey is not busy at all right now.
Yeah.
Half sarcasm, half not, because he's just... They've developed their car and it's going to win every race.
He might be chilling, but he also might be working on designing the 2026 car. Who knows?
Yeah.
It's hard to know.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
On that, I actually wrote in my notes at the start of the race, Logan Sargeant bodes well because Alpine exists. So there's a strong chance that he will not actually be last in his championship as long as the Alpine drivers exist. Although it didn't necessarily work out very well for him this race, but maybe next time.
I was going to say this race was not a good start to that theory, but... Yes, he does have a better chance now that Alpine exists. And then another thing on Paddock News I forgot to include. Pato O'Ward, his contract has been renewed until 2027. Or
Love
until the end of 2027. I don't remember which one. But Pato O'Ward will be with McLaren for the next foreseeable future. And as a McLaren fan in IndyCar, I love it. Great things.
Yep. Bodes well for him. McLaren's a good spot for him.
Absolutely. All right, that runs off Paddock News. Let's move on to the Formula One Bahrain Grand Prix. This is a pretty good track. Sometimes brings us some entertaining races. This was not one of those times. Let's just dive right into it.
Yeah, Sector 2 actually always ends up being pretty memorable for me.
Sector 2's,
there's always a good race when it comes. I remember... the start of the 2021 season, that first opening race between Verstappen and Hamilton, and just every single time they came to that second sector, it was just so exciting to watch.
Yeah, sector two is where most of the turns are on this track.
When they get to the turny section, it's very exciting.
Yeah, sector two is actually a very good sector, very fun to drive on the F1 game, on other games.
Of course.
It's very difficult, actually, especially the turn 5, 6, 7 complex, switching back and forth. Pretty difficult. But Bahrain, this is a track that is now the season opener every year, of course, taking over for Australia. This track might not be super exciting in the future just because teams test here now, as opposed to they used to test in Spain. So now they just have 3 days of testing, followed by 3 practice sessions, followed by qualifying in the race. So by the time the race gets around, teams already pretty much know what's going to happen. Everything's pretty solid. Of course, there's some variance that can still occur. But Bahrain, not my favorite track, but certainly not my least favorite track.
There you go.
All right, Ben, do you want to take us through the qualifying order?
Oh, let's do it. All right, so who could have guessed with a scorching time of 1:29.18? We got Max Verstappen, a full 2.25 thou. Yeah, 2.25 thou now. Whatever. 0.228 seconds behind him. Engineering brain is not working right now. Is Charles Leclerc for Ferrari. We had Russell behind him, followed by Sainz and Perez running out the top half of the top 10. Following him, we had Fernando Alonso, Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, Lewis Hamilton, and Nico Hülkenberg just barely squeezing in to the top 10 in that Q3. After that, we have Yuki Tsunoda putting in a pretty good effort in his RB. We got Lance Stroll following that. Alex Albon, Daniel Ricciardo finishing notably a little further behind his teammate. That's a secret tool that will come in handy when we talk about the race later. Kevin Magnussen, Valtteri Bottas, Zhou Guanyu, Logan Sargeant, Esteban Ocon, and Gasly in 20th.
Awesome stuff. Yeah, so the two Alpines qualified 19th and 20th. this race. This is what we're talking about. It might be a long season, but it's also hard to say because they are where McLaren was the last 2 years. So things could get better. I don't see
not
that happening.
Not without a technical director and aerodynamicist.
Yeah. We'll see what happens there. Logan Sargeant qualifying 18th, so not too much better than last season. Still a solid half a second behind Alex Albon.
Yep.
He's got to improve this year.
Yeah.
It's his seat kind of depends on it.
Yeah, the teeth are in now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Yuki Tsunoda and Nico Hülkenberg were kind of the surprises for me, especially with where their teammates landed. Actually stacked in the same order, just, you know, five places down.
Yeah. Yeah, Nico Hülkenberg is a great qualifier. He's putting that Haas in places where it should not go. However, the race pace still is not there. Seems like their tire degradation problems have not been fixed. So Haas still has some work to do. And, yeah. We will move on to the race highlights. Verstappen, at the start, got away well and maintained the lead off the start. Stroll spun out in turn one, dropping to the back of the field. Bottas then had wing damage on lap one and had to pit for a new wing. The McLarens moved up the field, passing Alonso in the Aston Martin pretty quickly in the first few laps. Perez improved to P3 by lap seven, passing the Ferraris. On lap 10, Logan Sargeant made a huge mistake and dropped to the back of the field after an off-track excursion that lasted for a solid 40 seconds, and then he had to pit afterwards. On lap 17, Carlos Sainz passed Leclerc to take P3, and on the next lap, Sainz passed Russell for P2. Bottas had a pit stop that lasted almost a minute on lap 32, pretty much ending his race, yet he still did not finish last. On lap 46, George Russell locked up into turn 10, allowing Leclerc to pass him and take P3. Or P4, my bad.
Close enough.
And Sainz did not take P2, it was P3 from Russell. Haha.
We just forgot about Perez.
We just forgot about
Perez. Oh, anyways.
Man, your wife is going to be mad at us.
It's okay. She was already mad at me during the race, so...
Okay.
I think she's just prepared for it now. I made sure to make sure that she knew.
Yeah. All right. Let's go through the results real quick of the race. In first place, to everybody's surprise, was Max Verstappen. In second place was Sergio Perez. Third was Carlos Sainz. Fourth was Leclerc. Fifth was Russell. Sixth was Norris. Seventh was Hamilton. Eighth was Piastri. Ninth was Alonso. And 10th, rounding off the points finishers, was Lance Stroll. 11 through 15 were Zhou Guanyu, Kevin Magnussen, Danny Ricciardo, Yuki Tsunoda, and Alex Albon. And 16 through 20 were Nico Hülkenberg, Esteban Ocon, Pierre Gasly, Valtteri Bottas, and Logan Sargeant. So Logan Sargeant...
Bottas getting a little bit of Monaco PTSD.
Yeah, same sort of thing happened. At least it was about 45 hours less of a pit stop this time. Similar, a wheel nut problem that they had to deal with. Logan Sargeant finished two laps down in last place after his off-track incident and venture into the pit lane. Valtteri Bottas was one lap down ahead of Sargeant, and so the real last place finishers were Ocon and Gasly. So again, Alpine does not have the qualifying pace, they don't have the race pace, and it's going to be interesting to see if they can get any better before the end of the season.
Yeah, Bottas already had endplate damage on his front splitter the entire race, too. So who knows how, I mean, clearly based on where Zhou ended up, he might have had a little more pace, but it's hard to say.
Yeah, hard to say. Bottas did hit, I believe it was Nico Hülkenberg, three times in turn one. Everyone was diving in, and Hülkenberg got shoved into Lance Stroll, which is what caused Stroll to spin. Bottas was kind of the one that started the domino effect there, going bowling like he did in Hungary, just not quite to the same degree. So, that was the race finishers. That was the order. And let's move on to talk about some interesting things that happened during the race. and just talking points that come from it. First one, is Verstappen going to be even more dominant this year than he was last year? My gut says no, but the data says yes.
Being more dominant would just mean Perez not winning two more races and Sainz not winning the race. So there is a little bit of space. It just comes down to, I mean, it's so circumstantial. But, I mean, if nothing, I don't know. I don't know if Perez is going to, confidence-wise, can do the same heroics he was doing earlier last season.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
It's hard to say.
My gut says Verstappen will probably snag at least one more win this year than he did last year.
Okay, so you think he's going to hit 20 this year?
Yep.
Interesting.
Why not? I'll throw my hat in that ring.
Okay. I don't think that's too far off. I do think there will be some more opportunities than there were last year for people like Ferrari. But, again, my gut says that will happen, but the data suggests otherwise. So, here's me going against math. Don't at me.
There you go.
All
what
right.
Has math ever done anyways?
Yeah, right. Who can trust math? It doesn't always work. It's not a set in stone thing.
I don't understand math, so why should it work?
Yeah, exactly. All right, next up we have Ferrari is faster this season. A little bit. Not enough to challenge Red Bull, it seems. Well, not enough to challenge Verstappen, it seems. But their car is in fact faster than it was last season, which is good. They changed a lot of their car, so it wasn't always a set-in-stone thing. But they seem definitely more on the pace this season, and so I think we might see some good races from Ferrari.
I mean, I loved watching Sainz beat up on Leclerc all race. That was very entertaining for me.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll move right into our next talking point, which was Charles Leclerc had braking issues the entire race. It seemed like one side of his car was braking harder than the other one, causing him to lock up constantly, shredding through his tires, and pulling his car to one side. I think it was the right side when he was braking in heavy braking zones. So the fact that Leclerc brought the car home in fourth place is pretty insane.
True. Yeah, I'll give him that.
Yeah.
I was keeping track of a take a shot whenever Leclerc locks up in turn one tracker.
Yeah, were you on the floor by the end of the race?
Well, it was more a theoretical state of mind than actually taking shots.
Theoretical drinking games?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
They're all more fun because I can wake up in the morning.
Yeah, that's fair. It was also 7 a.m. for me, so drinking games aren't really appealing.
Yeah.
But anyway, next up we got McLaren. They did not start the season poorly this year, which can only be a good thing. At least that's what I tell myself. They actually finished with both cars in the top 10 in the first race of the season, which has not happened the last couple of years. So, very hopeful for McLaren's future. And I think things look good.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely watching them fight it out with Mercedes is entertaining. And I'm glad that we're actually seeing them get a little bit more of a head start this season. I mean, they're not where they were in terms of standings as last season. Last season, they were even challenging Ferrari, if I recall correctly. Right? Why can't I think about that?
You mean McLaren was?
Yeah.
At the end of the season, yeah.
Yeah, towards the end of the season. I want to make sure I didn't have any of my seasons mixed up. I always managed to get a little bit of the 2021 Ferrari season mixed in with everything, so
yeah.
I got to make sure I keep that partitioned in my brain.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, it was nice to see them really challenging the other mid field teams early on, especially notably Aston Martin, who they kind of traded places with towards the end of the season last year. They kind of kept that a power dynamic, so good to see. It's definitely promising.
Definitely promising. Next up, we have Alpine. We've already talked about this a little bit, but they had a horrible race. Not looking super good at the beginning of this season. Moving on, we have Ricciardo and Tsunoda. That drama. Yuki Tsunoda was asked to let Daniel Ricciardo by about 5 laps from the end of the race because Ricciardo was on fresher soft tires. Yuki was on used hard tires. And they wanted to see if Ricciardo could go challenge for P10, which did not happen. However, Yuki Tsunoda was very upset by this. Even though it was apparently discussed before the race that this might be the plan, so be ready for it. Tsunoda kind of threw a little bit of a tantrum and was yelling at his team, as he's known to do. And then after the race, darted past Ricciardo, outbraked himself, locked up, went off the track. So Ricciardo passed him again. This is all after the checkered flag, by the way.
This is a cooldown lap.
And then Tsunoda drives back on the track and near misses Ricciardo, probably less than 6 inches away from his car, going at pretty good speeds.
It was like, I can understand, like, sure, it sucks to get team ordered behind a teammate when you think you have a chance to pass the guy in front of you, but that's very much not lead driver behavior if that's what he's going for, and it's very much not perhaps being Red Bull team behavior. Which is theoretically what this Red Bull Visa Cash App racing team is supposed to be, is a feeder team for the senior Red Bull team.
Exactly. So,
yeah, I thought Tsunoda had kind of cooled down after those first couple seasons, and last season he seemed much more mature than he had in the past, so I kind of thought he had grown out of it, but
yeah,
I was wrong. I was incorrect.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Tsunoda... I mean, yeah, you're trying to get into Red Bull. That's the whole point of being in that team. And if you're proving that you can't handle team orders, Red Bull does not want you.
Yeah, I have bad news for anyone who's on a team with Verstappen. There will most likely be team orders.
Yeah, almost certainly. So I understand why he was frustrated, but at the same time, he way overreacted, and it was not a good look.
Yeah, ought to be a fly on the wall in that paddock meeting after the race, though.
Yeah, that would have been fun to watch. all right, next up, we've got Williams had some steering wheel issues. You want to go into this, Ben?
Yeah, so this is kind of after the race, kind of looking at the reason, because even Albon, I saw during the race, looked like he mentioned some kind of trouble with his steering wheel and not being able to either change a setting or see a setting that he was trying to change on the steering wheel. And then it looks like when Sargeant pitted, he actually had to get a steering wheel changed out for some reason or another after his off-track excursion. So I was kind of wondering how that would affect. I'm not sure how it would affect him going so far off track and just hanging out there for a little bit. But Williams was the last team to use a chassis-mounted steering wheel or a chassis-mounted info screen. All the other teams had moved to the steering wheel mounted, and Williams just moved to the steering wheel mounted wheel this year, so it looks like they're still having teething problems, which seems like such a minor thing, you know, like it's just a screen that tells you things essentially, but it's interesting how much there is to go wrong even the little things. But I mean, yeah. Even when I was in college on a dinky little grassroots formula racing team for FSAE, we always went with the chassis mounted screens, because if you're going on to turn, it doesn't really help to see your gear indicator or any of the other temperatures or anything if the steering wheel's upside down.
Yeah, that is true. I think maybe the reason it might be a little, there might be some problems with the steering wheel display. On the chassis mounted one, of course, it's set up and all of the wiring is in the car attached to the display at all times. The difference is when it's on the wheel, you have to wire it so that it is detachable, because the wheels, of course, are detachable. So I'd imagine that getting that right is super important, but also might some there might be some issues when you're just developing it. Not sure how much, but if there were some steering wheel issues, of course we saw on Alex's onboards that his screen was freaking out.
Yeah.
And then not sure what happened with Sargent's, but it's possible Sargent had trouble getting into reverse, because getting into reverse on a Formula One car is a lot more complicated than just downshifting past neutral, unlike the Formula One game.
Yeah, I thought for sure it was just like Forza or Formula One.
Yeah, no, it's a whole process. So that's why it takes guys a minute to get into reverse after they crash. So it's possible that there were some issues there. There might be some just communication with the car issues from the wheel. As they're testing new systems, I'm sure things will go wrong for the first couple of weeks until they get it all figured out. But getting on the same board as everybody else in terms of having the screen display on the wheel, I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. There's definitely
sure
a reason why
a lot of
it's
down to preference, and yeah, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of reasons that I can't even think of why a steering wheel screen is better. But the main thing is I just thought it was interesting thinking about all the parts that we don't really even think about failing and how that affects the drivers. Because, I mean, we even saw Lewis Hamilton complaining that his seat was broken like halfway through the race.
Yeah.
Which is something I have never heard happening to a driver before during a race.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I haven't heard that either too much. I've heard of headrests getting broken. Like Stroll had a lot of problems with that one season. But the seat breaking is a new one, and I am surprised he was able to power through that. I don't know to what extent the seat broke, but yeah. So moving on to our standings, it's going to be the finishing order. It's the first race. So those are the standings right now. Verstappen, Perez, Sainz, Leclerc, Russell, Norris, Hamilton, Piastri, Alonso, Stroll, Joe, Magnussen, Ricciardo, Tsunoda, Albon, Hülkenberg, Ocon, Gasly, Bottas, and Sargent. And then the team standings are going to be a little different. Red Bull is out in front with 44 points. Ferrari is in second with 27. Mercedes is third with 16. McLaren is fourth with 12. And Aston Martin is fifth with 3. And nobody else has points right now. So that will change.
It is looking promising. I will say I would definitely expect RB to actually not do terribly this year. Last year, AlphaTauri was completely forgettable. But this year, they might actually, just based on the pace that we were seeing today, maybe there's a chance.
Yeah.
I want to believe.
I think RB might not be too bad. I think Sauber also was Joe finishing 11th.
Yeah.
They might have some pace that we can still see in the future. So we'll see. But let's move on to the pit stop championship and go over the top 10 places this season for all of the new listeners and viewers. We go through and we take the fastest stationary pit stop time every week while we write them all down, and then we basically score it the same way as Formula One has scored, with the fastest getting 25 points, the 10th place getting 1 point, and no one else getting any points. And then we just have our own little championship here, and we go over it at the end of the season. So pit stop championship for Bahrain in first place was Charles Leclerc with a time of 2.23 seconds. Second was Sainz with 2.27, and Verstappen with 2.27. I'm sure it goes down to the thousandths in the order. Fourth place we have, actually no, maybe it doesn't, but Sainz pitted first, so that would track with how it's scored. Perez, 2.29. Fifth was Norris with 2.33. Sixth was Tsunoda with 2.34. Seventh was Mercedes and Hamilton with 2.51. Eighth was Magnussen with 2.56. Ninth was Stroll with 2.57. And the last point scorer was Ocon with Alpine at 2.64 seconds.
Some pretty fast pit stops for the first race of the season.
Yeah, not too bad just getting into it.
Yeah.
Notably, Red Bull is not in first place this year. I feel like
they haven't been the fastest team for a couple of years now. I mean, it was really before they had the rules changes in 2020. Was that 2021 or 2022?
I think it was 22.
22. Because I remember that's when everything, that it looked like it was kind of slamming to a halt almost at the start when they changed the rules. And then when the speeds kind of picked back up, Red Bull didn't really pick up quite as fast as Ferrari or McLaren. Those are the two teams that really stand out to me as being fast. I know McLaren didn't really show that this race, but we'll give them a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I think Red Bull have been the most consistently fast team. But in terms of having the fastest overall times, yeah, it's been a couple of years. McLaren and Ferrari are usually fighting for that fastest pit stop overall of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Red Bull still consistently are hovering around 2.2 every single race. So, consistency-wise, consistency wins championships, as they say. And so Red Bull still overall, or at least as of last season, was the best team in terms of pit stops. But for lightning-fast pit stops, you want McLaren and Ferrari, for sure.
Fair enough.
All right, standings for Pit Stop Championship. It's going to be the same as in terms of drivers. It's going to be the same as the finishing order. And then teams, we have Ferrari out in front, followed by Red Bull and McLaren. RB is in fourth, Mercedes in fifth. And then 6 through 10 are Haas, Aston Martin, Alpine, and then Williams and Sauber are tied at 0 points. Okay, overtake of the week. I gave this one not to an F1 driver, but to an F2 driver. I gave this to Zane Maloney for his overtake on Enzo Fittipaldi into turn 13 in Bahrain during the F2 sprint race on lap 3. For anybody who did not watch the F2 races, you missed out. They were very entertaining compared to the Formula 1 race this week.
Darn. I'll have to go back and watch those.
Yeah, especially the feature was awesome. Well, the sprint was too. They were both good. But yeah, so Maloney sent it around the outside of Fittipaldi in turn 13. And turn 13, for those who don't know, is the super long, high-speed right-hander right before you go down the final back straight. Passing on the outside there is unheard of because drivers are flat out, foot on the floor. And there's not a ton of grip on the outside of the track. So, very good overtake. And he wins our overtake of the week.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Also, Zane Maloney won the F2 sprint and the F2 feature race. And winning two F2 races in one weekend is very difficult. So, congrats. Might have a future star in the works there, but again, it's only one race.
Yep. And he has to get a seat in F1 first, which apparently very difficult for F2 drivers.
Yeah, well, this season might change that.
Yeah.
But we'll see. All right, let's move on to our predictions for this, or for last week. Top five, let's remind everybody of the top five. It was Verstappen, Perez, Sainz, Leclerc, and Russell. Ben, why don't you kick it off and give me your top five predictions from last week?
Well, we got a decent amount of green here to start off.
Yeah.
So Verstappen is the free bingo space, as always. I had Hamilton coming in second. I was a little off on that one. I'll give him that. I had Sainz in third, which got that. Perez, I had him in fourth. And I had Russell in fifth, which he did come in fifth. And then my dark horse was Albon, who did not quite make it as far as I had hoped.
Not quite. All right, my top five were Verstappen for the free bingo space. Then I had Sainz in second, Leclerc in third, Perez in fourth, and Norris in fifth. So I didn't get any of those. If I moved Perez to second and the other two down, I would have gotten that. But yeah, we don't give partial points, at least for this.
You had the right idea.
And then my dark horse was Fernando Alonso, who did have a good race, but he did not finish in the top five. All right, fastest lap. Went to Max Verstappen, and we both got that correct. With us. Yep. And driver of the day went to Carlos Sainz. What did you say, Ben?
I had Hamilton for that.
And I had Sainz, so I'm taking that point right off the bat this season.
There you go.
Love to
Very
see
well
it.
Deserved.
Yeah.
Dude had a screamer of a race.
He did. Very good race from Sainz. Very impressive. All right. Next up, we have next week predictions, and our IndyCar season is starting up here this
Let's
week.
Let's go.
And I'm very excited. So, first race of the season for IndyCar is St. Petersburg, Florida, lovingly known as St. Pete. Very tight street circuit. Grosjean did very well here last season. And with that being said, why don't you give us your prediction on pole position, Ben?
How strange that you say Grosjean did well there. I'm going to give Grosjean a pole position for this one. We'll talk about podiums later, but I have him for pole position at least.
Okay. Yeah, he was the pole sitter last season, so very possible. I gave this one to Marcus Ericsson, and we know how good of friends Grosjean and Ericsson are.
Oh, yeah.
All of you F1 meme lords that have a little history knowledge.
Ericsson just hit us.
Ericsson just hit us. Little known fact, Grosjean was not actually the one that said us. It said that. It was his engineer. And then everyone blamed Grosjean for saying, I think Ericsson hit us.
Well, it's funnier that way.
It is funnier this way, so we just ignore that.
That's the only thing that matters.
All right. So I have Ericsson on pole position. You have Grosjean. Podium places. Why don't you give me your three podium sitters, Ben?
I would just like to call out the fact that neither of our pole positions are actually shown on the podium for our predictions.
Welcome to IndyCar.
Welcome to IndyCar. My podium is Palou, Herta, and Kirkwood in no particular order because I'm not smart enough to figure that out.
Yeah, we are not doing orders on the podium sitters because welcome to IndyCar.
We got to give ourselves a chance.
Right. And then mine, in no particular order, are Grosjean, O'Ward, and McLaughlin. So we have completely different podiums. Very exciting.
Yeah. And notably, all six of these drivers are pretty good on street circuits.
Yep. They all make pretty good sense. All right. Winning number of pit stops. What do you have, Ben?
I have three.
And I have two. So this is the amount of times drivers pit stop and win the race.
Really hoping for a tight street race with some driver shakeups. Maybe we get a little bit of a pit under caution, and that'll be the extra one that slips in there.
Yeah, possibly. Yep, I have two. I don't know if I said that. I think I did.
If Grosjean starts on pole, there's a chance.
There's a chance. And all right, so let's move on to the Formula One Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Give me your top five and dark horse, Ben.
Okay. So my 2 through 5 are Sainz, Perez, Russell, and Leclerc, with Stroll as my dark horse.
Okay. Everyone knows what your first one is.
It's not even worth it, yeah.
Not even worth
it. A lot of syllables to waste.
Yeah. Well, I'll waste the 3 syllables. Verstappen is my first pick. And then I have Perez, Leclerc, Hamilton, and Sainz in the top five, with Piastri as my dark horse. That's my dark horse.
I'm interested in your Hamilton prediction at the top. I feel like that's the one place where our predictions deviate, and where they've definitely deviated in the past, is Russell versus Hamilton.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of weird. Like, I still feel like Hamilton overall is the better driver, but Russell has been faster in some key points.
I'm always surprised when I see Russell ahead of Hamilton, but it happens enough that I'm always confused when I'm surprised.
Yeah. It's
because realistically they do trade blows. It's just weird to think about, you know, Russell being ahead of Hamilton consistently enough to, you know, put him in a top five prediction or something like that.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's a very interesting fight to watch, for sure. All right, fastest lap, Ben. What's your prediction?
It's going to be Verstappen.
And Verstappen is what I said, too. And then driver of the day.
I have Russell for that.
Okay, I have Leclerc. Okay, Ben, you don't have anything written down, but do you have any quick words of wisdom for us this week?
Yes. So, I was talking about this with Emily. We both agreed that the best words of wisdom for this week are investing in a good single knife, whether you like the Santoku's, whether you like the chef's knife, is having a single good knife instead of a block of really terrible knives will serve you so well. Because, you know, you have one really nice knife that you can keep sharpening, and you can build that out into a block if you want with other knives as you get more money for them or more interest. But a chef's knife will do everything you need it to, and it'll last a long time if you get a nice one. You can sharpen it yourself. A sharp knife is a safe knife. If you have a dull knife and you're having to, you know, really cut down and slice, then you're just going to cut yourself. So, yeah. Instead of having a bunch of really terrible knives from the Dollar Tree or whatever your budget market of choice is, just get one nice knife.
Yeah, Poundland in the UK. Love that.
What was that?
It's Poundland in the UK.
Poundland.
For all of our UK listeners, I see you.
That is insane.
We have the Dollar Tree, Dollar General, the Dollar Store. We have a bunch of things here, and you've got Poundland over there.
Poundland.
Poundland, yeah.
Sounds like something I'd tell my wife.
Okay. And on that note, thank you everybody so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you'd want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from those series, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on Twitter or X using hashtag RevHangPodcast, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can also follow Ben on Instagram at BenGMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang pages on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and even TikTok now at RevHangMedia. We'll be back in a week to talk about the IndyCar race at St. Pete and the Formula One Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out, everybody.
See you later.